What's up, fellas? It's Bush here. Before we get into today's episode, I want to remind you that Underdog is the place to be if you guys want to crush your buffoon league mates this year. Underdog not only is the best place to play fantasy football because it has no waivers, no trades, you just draft, and then you collect your winnings at the end of the year. Big, big time winnings. $2 million to first in Best Ball Mania 6. Contest for any price point. But the reason that I love Underdog so much is because when I get 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 drafts under my belt, I know exactly where players are going in sharp, real ADP drafts that are going to make me laugh at where I can get players in my home redraft league. Because ultimately, that's what I care about winning the most, my home redraft league. So when you're training on Underdog, when you're drafting, you're getting the best real life practice you can possibly get. Doing mock drafts on ESPN, doing mock drafts on Yahoo will not get you as prepared as Underdog will. Sign up right now. Use the promo code FSE when you sign up and you'll get up to $1,000 in bonus cash on the site on your first deposit and a gimme pick in your pick'em lobby. Check out the link in the description of all of our videos to get started. Now let's get into it. Double hero running back may be the only answer to unlocking your fantasy football drafts in 2025. We are going full unk meter today because with a double hero running back, I'm sure many of you guys who played fantasy a long time have been saying, I told you guys, you know, we've been drafting running backs early for years. Well, we're going to break down the exact strategy, not just get your running backs early, because that's very obvious with this strategy, why we think it's going to be the optimal strategy for you guys in 2025. So double hero RB, in case you guys are living under a rock, means that you get your anchor running backs early, usually grabbing two of them with your first two, three, maybe four picks. Locking down two guys that you feel very confident have legendary upside, top five upside, and then you're going to use primarily rounds three, four, five, six, seven, eight to fill out your wide receiver position, maybe grab an elite quarterback, an elite tight end, and kind of pick up things when the value is there. You guys can see from this chart from Ryan Heath that the running back position performs very well in terms of round one, round two, round three, round four. The chance of you drafting a league winner is actually higher in round two, three, and four for running back than it is for wide receiver. Of course, quarterbacks and tight ends, you can get those league winners as well. But getting your running backs early based on this data is pretty sharp, pretty optimal.
Yeah, and we do see the sharp drop off because after round four, I mean, we've talked about how the running back dead zone in the recent years has been a lot better. But we do see historically like a 19% to an 11% drop. Historically, the league winners, the legendary players will still come early in their drafts. And I mean, it just makes sense, right? The best profiles every year are going to be pushed up the board. But when you actually look at the win rate table for top 50 ADP wide receivers versus running backs, you'll see between 2015 to 2022, it actually favored the wide receiver position. And as a whole, the collective of the chart actually favors the wide receiver position because an average win rate of 50.55 is higher than an average win rate of 39.20. However, when you scroll down to the bottom two, the 2023 and 2024 seasons, aka the two most recent seasons we have, we actually do see that top 50 selected running backs have outperformed wide receivers comparatively, especially in 2024, a 64.29% win rate versus a 45.83%.
Yeah, I think the main reason that this can come up is because of sites like Underdog Fantasy. Underdog has, you know, resulted in both home leagues and in sharper leagues in the wide receiver position, particularly if a guy has a great profile, being pushed up the board. Perfect evidence of that was in 2021, after Justin Jefferson's rookie season, we were taking him at the 2-3 turn. Brian Thomas Jr. and Malik Nabers had very comparable seasons to Justin Jefferson's rookie season, and they're going basically in the first round. Nabers definitely in the first round and Thomas at the 1-2 turn.
These elite breakout candidates. I mean, we talk about obviously first year players in that example. You mentioned the second year players with the Malik Nabers versus a Justin Jefferson. Even guys like, you know, Ladd McConkey, for example. Ladd McConkey, if this was 2021, would probably be more of like a fourth round pick. So the fact that he's going in that mid to late second, which I think is appropriate ADP for him, doesn't have that generational wealth opportunity that maybe the year 2021 would have yielded.
Yeah, Ladd McConkey's exact profile probably goes in round four in 2021. And we'd be all like, yeah, we're drafting the crap out of Ladd McConkey. And no wonder, you know, we don't want to be taking running backs over Ladd McConkey, because at that point in time, you'd be taking like the running back 16, 17, 18 off the board over a profile of Ladd McConkey, who should be ranked as like a top 12 wide receiver.
Dare I say running backs and wide receivers now are actually almost going exactly where they should be going?
Yeah, we're the true great profiles at running back will still go high. Barkley, Gibbs, Bijan, McCaffrey, those type of guys are still going high. But only now we're recognizing the truly great profiles at wide receiver appropriately. Because in 2020, notoriously, wide receiver 4 off the board, Tyreek Hill, went after running back 15 or 14 off the board, Kenyon Drake.
That's our favorite example if you've watched all 3 of these strategy videos so far.
Yeah, absolutely. Like you said, it's been a little bit more harmonized now. The running backs and wide receivers are going a lot more appropriately. Last year, we're not seeing the market overreact to the running back position overperforming the wide receiver position. It's still kind of remaining the same. Running backs going about where they should be going, wide receivers about where they should be going. It is really simple to say that you kind of are just taking the best player on the board. But ideally, in this double hero running back strategy, you are prioritizing getting 2 running backs, probably with your first 3 picks, but maybe your first 4 picks.
Well, we mentioned this, but the data will be skewed when we have the opportunity cost in past years being so disadvantageous at running back and so advantageous at wide receiver. Now, like you said, because the market is sharper, because we're actually having running backs and wide receivers valued appropriately, there isn't just the stark edge in doing a draft strategy. You actually have to make the right picks.
Yeah, exactly. The best draft strategy, as many people comment on these videos, is just taking the best player. But Double Hero RB indicates that the best player probably tie breaks to a running back 2 of your first 4 picks or so. On a micro level, when we talk about, you know, determining who your hero running back should be, I broke down the individual cases for the top 4 round picks at the running back position. Top 15 or so guys have very strong cases across the board. In the predicting the next league winning running back video, I went through all the micro cases. In the this will change your running back draft strategy in the early rounds, I broke down the macro cases of the archetypes that we want to be going after. Essentially, we want to be going after value over replacement. We want to be going after the guys that are hammers in your fantasy lineup, irreplaceable production pieces like Saquon Barkley last year, Jahmyr Gibbs last year, Derrick Henry last year, Bijan Robinson, Josh Jacobs, Achane. You can see them ranked in value above replacement. In Double Hero RB, your goal is to get 2 of the top 6 or 7 guys that are needle moving replacers, value over replacement type of running backs, because your league mates presumably might have 1 of those guys. Maybe they even have 0 of those guys. But if you have 2, it's going to go a long way to increasing the win rate of your chances of winning your league. And it sounds easier said than done. Of course, just pick the right running backs in the early rounds. Most fantasy players agree that if you get 2 anchor workhorse running backs, you're going to have a very good chance of winning your league.
Well, think last year. I mean, Saquon and Josh Jacobs were round 2-3 picks. Maybe you drafted a Bijan Robinson and was able to get Saquon Barkley falling back to you. Like, at the end of the day, any strategy will work if you take the right players, but specifically at running back, and my double hero is so much better than it was in recent years, is that you're actually having alluring running back picks at their picks. It's not like, oh, I got to chase and I got to build out my running back depth. It's no, I'm actually being selective with my running back and taking profiles that I like.
And not only that, but it depends, like in past years, it would almost depend where you were on the board if double hero was effective, because let's say you're at the end of the first round,
predict the run.
Double up, you could do a double hero RB very easily because you're getting like RB 7 and 9 off the board or something like that. Whereas if you tried to do double hero RB from the one hole, you'd have your RB 1 in the first round probably, but you wouldn't have any good running backs falling back to you.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, in 2021, if you drafted, let's just say Christian McCaffrey was your first overall pick, it's like, well, now you're at the 2-3 turn and 15 other running backs went off the board. Double hero is probably not viable in that situation.
Yeah, which is why the data would have pointed to, yeah, maybe going hero in that situation or even potentially 0 if you went wide receiver in the first round. So again, how we want to identify who's worthy of being heroes is the most important part of this strategy, realistically, because like I said, pretty much everybody knows that getting your running backs early is generally a pretty good way to go about things. Actually identifying who your double hero should be is the important part.
Yeah. Identifying your hero, not based on their median projection, not based on what you project their touch workload to look like, but based on how high a ceiling you think that player possesses. Can that player that you are selecting, round 1, round 2, round 3, round 4, access a top 5 running back overall ceiling? If that is not in their range of outcomes, you bypass for another option that does have that ceiling. Realistically, depth can be figured out. You can find touches late in your draft. You can go, you know, round 7, round 8, round 9. Grab guys that can fill immediate workloads that you can trust to get a 15, 18, 20 touch per game type of workload, especially in the early portion of the year. But the reason why we take guys early is to access a top 5 overall ceiling. If you can have 2 guys that can legitimately be 18 plus, 20-plus, 21-plus point-per-game scorers. Like, if you drafted last year Saquon Barkley and Bijan Robinson your first two rounds, and you left your draft in the first two picks with legitimately, what was that, 43, 44 PPR points per game, you're off to a very good start.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And, of course, the best way to determine if we're finding these guys is to, you know, rank them and talk about their cases on a micro and a macro level. And if you guys do want all of our rankings, if you guys want our draft guide, which is live right now, if you want everything that we have research-wise to break down how we're evaluating these running backs, because again, picking the right player on the board is essentially all we're going for here when we're making fantasy football advice videos for you guys, and also when you guys are watching these. You can get our season pass right now for $35, get you our draft guide, all the draft guides of the other creators on our site, all of our rankings, site access from August 1 to Jan 1. So you can use all the tools on the site, get our weekly rankings, rest of season rankings. If you're a season-long player specifically, not a dynasty player, this is the perfect package for you because you sign up and you're covered for the whole year. You get a draft guide, draft prep, and you also get in-season stuff that you can ask us trade questions and start set questions. You get a couple of vouchers for that as well. So if you guys want to check that out, that is linked down below in the pinned comment. But Danny, the legendary upside that you touched on is something that we probably need to talk about more because that's how you win leagues. That's like, you got to beat 12 other people or 10 other people or 14 other people, however many people are in your league.
If you're making an early pick in your draft and the goal isn't to take a league winner or a legendary player, you're approaching that pick wrong. And we do see the data, the 41 league winners posted since 2017, 19 of them have come at running back, 17 of them have come at wide receiver. You may be asking yourself, well, 19 versus 17, pretty negligible difference. The reason that we draft a double hero strategy is not only access to be able to be a 13-plus win rate player, a league-winning type of player, but can you get the guy that can have a season named after him? Can you get a guy that can have a 20-plus percent win rate? Can you get a 2017 Todd Gurley with a 31.3% win rate? Can you get a 2019 Christian McCaffrey with a 29.9% win rate? Can you get the guy that can not only win your league, but can produce 25, 26, maybe 28 points per game plus, which is what Christian McCaffrey was doing in 2019, that can have a season named after him?
And actually, the smaller your league is, the more this matters. Like if you're in an eight-man league or a 10-man league, you can find production on the waiver wire. You can trade for guys. You're going to have, everybody's going to have good depth in an eight-man league. But you cannot find 2019 Christian McCaffrey anywhere else other than on the Christian McCaffrey manager's team in 2019.
Yeah, like you're looking back on that, a 29.5 PPR point per game season. And maybe the answer this year is Christian McCaffrey might just be the double hero you want to build around because you're looking at the league winner chart. You're looking at the legendary player chart. I mean, the guy literally has three of the seven legendary seasons. Maybe that's going to be your goal in the back half of the first round this year is just grabbing the guy that sees his name on this list the most.
Yeah, well, and there's a reason he's actually on the thumbnail for this video is because that legendary upside is what you're chasing. I mean, if you come in seventh in your fantasy league, you get the same amount of money as the guy that come in third place, at least in the league structures that that I play in. So again, your best chance at a legendary running back is to refine what you're looking for, which is what I was doing in the predicting the next league winning running back video. And also in the, this will change the way you draft early round running backs. In that video specifically, we looked at it from a macro level. What types of profiles hit the biggest, get bust the most, get injured the most, return on ADP the most. That's what I wanted to find out. You guys can see breakout candidates, the definition for it, trusty veterans, the definition for it, and running backs in their prime. We've determined in that video that it's a great year to take shots on these guys because we actually have pretty good profiles at the top of our running back position. Running backs in their prime and breakout candidates of the two archetypes provide the highest chance for that boom rate, that top five, beat your ADP by 10, have an 18 point per game season or higher. That's what you're looking for when you draft a double hero RB. You ideally want to hit on two of those guys. And then you combine that with the micro player take version of that video, which is predicting the next league winning running back, going through and saying, okay, what do we think of Jahmyr Gibbs this year? Okay, well, he has the receiving upside. He has the offensive insulation. He has the offensive line, so on and so forth. And you get guys that fit both categories. They're running backs in their prime and or their breakout candidates. Bijan, Gibbs, Jenty, Achan, JT, Bucky Irving, Chase Brown, James Cook, Breece Hall, Kenneth Walker, and Amarian Hampton. They check both of those boxes. They have good micro player take cases and they have good macro archetype cases. It doesn't mean you can't use Saquon Barkley or Derrick Henry or Christian McCaffrey or Josh Jacobs as a double hero RB. It just means that you should be wary that if they don't have a monster ceiling, then maybe you shouldn't draft them. And of course, those guys definitely do have big ceilings. It's just we're going over the last 10 years of ADP. determining who were the guys that hit the most, missed the most, got injured the most, returned on ADP the most, and basically produced those legendary seasons the most. And it is generally running backs that are younger.
Well, just think of it like this. If you're drafting a trusty veteran to just get you touches and fill in, you know, 15 to 17 points per game, why draft that in round three when you have access to that in round six with the James Conner type?
Well, and it's making me a little bit nervous about Josh Jacobs to some degree, because going into last year, Josh Jacobs was a guy that we had worries about the efficiency coming in from Las Vegas to Green Bay. And he's another year older and more touches under his belt. And I actually don't think he has like 22 plus point per game ceiling.
Well, if you recall, we talked last year specifically, like the reason why he was even available in the third round, obviously, like once he was like a 37 ADP, he was a great pick there. It's just more so when you're talking about a difference between, you know, a 37th overall ADP versus this year, he's probably going to be a 2-3 turn pick. The main concerns that people had last year was, oh, well, the pass rate's going to be high now in Green Bay. He's not going to get receiving work. And maybe we see a type of committee on third down, long down and distance. That didn't end up materializing because Jordan Love averaged 28 pass attempts per game coming off of a knee injury. Like if Jordan Love returns to 34, 35, maybe even goes up to 36 plus pass attempts per game after they draft a first round wide receiver, and Josh Jacobs also doesn't have the autonomy of the third down work, maybe, you know, Emmanuel Wilson's a bit of a pest, or Marshawn Lloyd comes back from a groin injury and chips in. Like, I do agree with you that it's made me realize that as much as I like Josh Jacobs, the access to the 20 plus point per game ceiling maybe isn't there. Sorry.
Yeah. Which is that's one example, just one guy that we're talking about, but that's kind of how nitpicky you want to be with your early round running backs. You want to be like, I actually think that if I'm going to take a guy who I just project to get the touches and, you know, he doesn't maybe have the greatest receiving role or whatever, Jonathan Taylor's younger. He fits the running backs in his prime bucket. Maybe you want to go with Jonathan Taylor instead.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong, I still like Jacobs because even though he might not get there in the receiving game, I also think the thing we have to bake in is with a healthy Jordan Love, the goal line touchdown equity, like if he gets there with like a Derrick Henry 2024 Ravens aspect because he punches in 17, 18 touchdowns, like that would be the upside path to Jacobs. It's not going to be because he caught 85 balls and he rushed for 1,700 yards, because I just don't think he's going to get the carry workload like a Derrick Henry would be to get 1,700 plus yards.
Yeah, no, exactly. And it's crazy you mentioned that, because he actually did have, what, like 15 plus touchdowns last year and, you know, produced a good season, but he wasn't a legendary running back. He wasn't a league winning running back. So he was of high value over replacement relative to where you got him, but you're also paying more for him now than you were last year. So that's something to factor in. And that's kind of why we're talking about this. So pivoting into how we want to handle like the dead zone, because in past years, what we used to tell you guys with double hero was round one, round two, or round two, round three, or whatever, get your double hero, bypass the dead zone, catch up at wide receiver, catch up at quarterback or tight end or whatever. In PPR leagues, you still wanted to fill your wide receivers through your flex, even if you had a double hero RB build. This year, it's not quite the same.
Yeah, it's not quite the same, because back in 2020 to 2022, it was very clear that in rounds 4 to 7, you just wanted to be avoiding most running backs. You wanted to be avoiding, and another staple little dunk on that we like throwing in these videos, you wanted to be avoiding the Mike Davis profiles. You didn't want to be drafting Mike Davis in round 4, round 5. The difference, though, is that in 2020, 2021, that was Mike Davis. In 2024, that's Alvin Kamara. That's James Conner. That's Trevion Henderson. Like, we are just talking about completely different profiles available. So therefore, if it's a different dead zone range and we were predispositioned to avoiding the dead zone altogether at running back, we got to unleash the shackles. Hey, you guys were cuffed up this longest time. You can't take running backs in this range. Unleash those shackles, unleash the restrictions. In 2025, the dead zone doesn't really exist at running back. And we talked about it in the zero video, in the hero running back video for a reason. But if you want to take a third running back, because let's just say you drafted Marion Hampton as your running back too, and you say, hey, you know, maybe I want a James Conner in round six because he's going to get me early touches. Like, round six is a fine area to take early touches. It's just more so when we have to push those round six profiles in the round three, round four portion like we were in past years.
Yeah, as we discussed in the zero and hero video, it's different when you're taking the running back 17 off the board in round five, as opposed to at the end of round two, like you were taking it in 2020. So it does matter that the number of running back, like RB ADP, is running back 15 to 25 going off the board rounds 4 to 7 now, versus back in 2020, it was like RB 24 to 34 going off the board. Inherently at ADP, you're getting a better deal on, let's say, RB15 when you get him at the 4-5 turn, as opposed to a few years ago, you had to take that guy in the mid second round or something like that. So, and it's leached into home leagues too. It's not just a underdog and sharp leagues thing. The number of running backs per Ryan Heath drafted in the first 40 picks of ESPN leagues by season, you can see consistently 17 plus guys going in the first 40 picks, which is about the mid third round or earlier, or late third round or earlier. You can see 20% fewer running backs going in the early rounds the past 3 years, 15, 16, and 15 as of July 1st, 2025. So wide receivers in the dead zone too. The other major part of this is we were taking a lot of wide receivers in that territory.
Yep.
And now the wide receivers that you're taking there, conversely at running back, is like wide receiver 25 to 35, as opposed to wide receiver 12 to 25, like it used to be.
Well, we mentioned that Tyreek Hill versus Kenyon Drake was the early round portion of a weird decision that was made back then. I mean, the comparative now is in round six, like we said, Jamar Chase was a 2021 sixth round pick. Nowadays in round six at wide receiver, I mean, who would you be lucky to get in that range?
Like, I think the perfect example to me is, you remember the third year breakouts of
Chris Olave,
Ridley, and Chris Godwin a couple years ago? Those exact profiles, if they were in this year's ADP crop, they'd be going where Ladd McConkey is going right now.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, like that's why it's how these positions interact. How does running back interact with wide receiver? Because they're the most important fantasy positions. They fill out your wide receiver running back spots. You start the most of them. You start them in your flexes most of the time. They interact in ways that when running back is up, wide receiver's down. When wide receiver's up, running back is down. So wide receiver in the eyes of the market is still up despite the last 2 years of data that says that running backs and wide receivers are actually, running backs outperformed wide receivers last year. So it's about going after good dead zone profiles to fill out your flex.
Be selective.
Be selective with those profiles. Don't take Mike Davis. The starters in great offenses like Kenneth Walker, the high pass catching upside running backs like Trevion Henderson, Alvin Kamara, the rookie upside swings like Trevion Henderson, Caleb Johnson, RJ Harvey, those are good dead zone profiles that you can use to fill out your flexes. The Mike Davis, Miles Sanders on the Panthers, you know, those profiles are not the ones you want to go after.
Yeah, exactly. But ultimately, you guys are probably wondering right now, well, how do I apply this to my home league? How do I apply a double hero running back draft strategy to my home league? And I would say the first question you have to ask yourself is, what's your league dynamic? Do they love running backs early? Are they maybe more, you know, like wide receiver heavy, like underdog drafts? Like, you will ultimately know the context of your own league market based off experience. But Corey, how do the people implement the double hero running back strategy to their home leagues?
The easy answer is, if you're in a league that people take running backs high, you probably want to leave the first two rounds with your running back, if not the first three rounds with two running backs there. In these formats, leaving those first couple rounds with running backs, tie-breaking to running back when necessary. Like, let's say you're deciding between Brian Thomas Jr. and Ashton Jeanty at the end of the first round. Maybe you roll with Ashton Jeanty because you know that the running backs are going to fly off the board behind you and you can get good wide receivers later. I can't count how many times we've had people comment on videos like this, say, I can get wide receivers later in my league. Okay, then
get your wide receivers back later.
To start your draft is definitely optimal in your league. Yeah. The more casual your league, the more people will chase up bad running back profiles to catch up at that position. And if you start your draft at the end of the, let's say at the 7 hole or the 8 hole, you start with CMC, Devon Achane falls to you in the second round, there's a good chance that people will get FOMO and they'll start chasing up the Kamaras and the Kenneth Walkers and those guys into the third, into the early fourth round, when in leagues that you and I play in, that doesn't really happen.
And I think FOMO is the key word, right? Because that was what existed in 2015 and 2018 and 2020. The reason why players push running backs up the board is that they realize, oh, you know, running backs are scarce. I need two running backs in the first two rounds. Well, if 11 out of the 12 people in that league are taking two running backs in the first two rounds, Corey, what's quick math? 11 times two.
11 times two is 22 running backs off the board.
If 11 people are drafting two running backs in the first two rounds, 22 running backs will go off the board in the top 24 picks. It's just simple math, right? Whereas more people now are willing to do zero running back, are willing to get creative with their draft strategies. That is why you just have to know your league. If you are in a, you know, league with your buddies, you've been running since 2003 and you know everybody's grabbing running backs, maybe you can't afford, you know, passing or running back on that 1-2 turn. I think the 1-2 turn specifically, like you said, because you're not catching the tail end of the run of the running back two position. If you can exit with, let's just say you're in a running back heavy league, I'd even be willing to, because Derrick Henry in that league format's probably going to go above Achane, Christian McCaffrey and them, et cetera. Like, if you can leave the 1-2 turn 12-13 with a McCaffrey and a Devon Achane, you're feeling very good.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And you mentioned running back 22 off the board in the first two, maybe 30 picks or something.
That might be too extreme, but like
running back 22 doesn't go off the board until 67 overall right now. So that's the difference. That was not the league market dynamic in 2017,
exactly.
In 2018. In 2019, when my fantasy league, my home league started, it was 2015. And the running back position, like it was the first five picks off the board.
Yeah. I mean, we like we said, it was wide receiver three versus running back 12, 13, 14 discussions at some picks, which kind of shows you that the pendulum has completely shifted. However, we will talk about the shift. We will talk about sharper leagues. Maybe a lot of your league mates, you know, you're just getting out of college and everybody's over on Underdog and they're drafting their best ball teams. And you have a couple buddies that, you know, maxing BBM. Like that's what we're talking about when we say sharper, is a lot more people are understanding of the wide receiver market on that app. So therefore, they're more likely to translate it over to their home league. If that is the case, you have a lot more creativity when you grab your double hero. Do you want to grab your second hero in round four because Amarian Hampton's there? If you want to grab your first hero in round three because you believe in Breece Hall, Chase Brown, Josh Jacobs, we just mentioned, like there are just so many running back profiles that might get pushed down the board as more and more people in your league are willing to go scarce at the running back position and draft wide receivers up top.
Yeah, ultimately, you're picking your heroes still the same way that we talked about earlier in the video, but the combinations are a lot more different in sharper leagues. Like, I wouldn't even be opposed to saying you could run a double hero RB with Amarian Hampton as your first running back off the board in the fourth round, and you grab Kenneth Walker in the fifth round, and that's your double hero RB. You grab two guys. Before, that was running into the dead zone, but in a sharp league, you can get Kenneth Walker in the fifth round. In a home league, you would not get Kenneth Walker in the fifth round, so that's why it doesn't apply.
For sure. But with that being said, we've been talking a lot. Let's put it to action, Corey. Let's take on a mock together. We'll be picking at different ends of the board and kind of showcasing to you guys on how we can exact the double hero running back and maybe the different variations of the double hero running back, because I'm sure one of us will probably take our first hero in the first two rounds. Maybe one of us leans a little bit later on in that hero, but you guys will see that in a second. We will switch right now.
All right, before we get into the draft, I do quickly want to shout out our Flock Fantasy mock draft tool. Those of you guys that want to check this out, it is a free tool to use. You just need a site account to build it. Of course, use the promo code FSE to start your 7-day free trial. And if you are a site subscriber, you get some bonus features. And of course, you have site access. And again, want to plug the season pass one more time. This would be one of the tools you get access to when you sign up for the season pass, including the My Teams feature, the prospects tab, our rankings, the trade finder, the trade calculator, the comparison tool, the range of outcomes tool. There's tons of stuff that you guys can see here, but we're going to get into a private draft. We're going to do a 60-second clock, redraft PPR. We're going to go full PPR, like I said, 12 team, two running back, two wide receivers, two flex, one tight end, one quarterback. And then like Danny mentioned, we are going to be picking from different ends of the board and we're going to go for 14 rounds here. All right. So we're now into the draft. I'm picking from the 3-hole, Danny from the 10 spot. Just a quick shout out. Free users of the site get the expert rankings that automatically populate. But if you guys are paid subscribers, you do get access to our specific rankings to do the mock drafts here. And I would say for what we talked about a couple minutes ago, this is more of a sharper room because all of us experts do Underdog drafts. We're, you know, experienced fantasy players. Your draft may not look like this draft board. I just want to say that right away. But if you do practice against a draft board like this, you'll be ready to dominate your league mates in meaningful ways here. I'm going to do my double hero starting with my first hero in the first round, Bijan Robinson. For my money, the absolute best projection at the running back position in fantasy this year. Hopefully I can grab myself another hero with my second pick, my third pick, or my fourth pick.
Yeah, now I'm on the clock here, and I would have taken a Christian McCaffrey if he had fallen here, but because you took your hero in the first round, I'm actually going to try to pivot around with it, get creative. Like we said, if we're picking at this end of the board, and I know these guys do love wide receivers in general, I'm banking on a potential Ashton Jeanty or a Devon Achane falling back to me at this next pick. So I'll start off with my next highest receiver first, Nico Collins, and oh, fuck, they both went.
Okay. Yeah, the FSE bot decided to use my rankings there where I have Achane and Jeanty ranked as borderline first round players there. You could get, let's see if you can do it.
Let's get creative then. Yeah, you know what? Let's get creative. Some people here might be screaming, oh my God, how are you not taking Derrick Henry? I just don't value him ahead of this range. I'm going to get creative though. I'm going to take my running backs at that 3-4 turn and I'm going to grab, Drake London here.
Yeah, I personally would have just taken Derrick Henry there. I have Derrick Henry ranked ahead of Drake London, but the point of the double hero strategy is to, you know, ideally get your two anchors in the first four rounds, guys that you believe in, and Derrick Henry is a trusty veteran. If you don't believe in him, that's totally a fair assessment. I'm going to do the classic double hero where I get my first two backs, you know, as my double heroes, and now I'm going to fill out the rest of my positions because my best available players are running backs, if you see it on the side of my screen here, and Chase Brown is my highest available running back. So I'll grab Chase Brown with the 210. And now I'm free to kind of build out the rest of my roster, build out wide receivers, tight ends, quarterbacks, etc. So I'm going to grab my anchor wide receiver here. I would go T. Higgins because he is my highest rated wide receiver, but I did just take Chase Brown. Do I want that much investment in the Cincinnati offense? I mean, it's a great offense to be invested in, but I will tie break to Tyreek Hill here, even though Trey McBride is technically my highest rated player. Going double hero RB would make me a little bit less likely to grab an early tight end specifically. Yeah. Whereas early quarterback, if I get it in the fourth round, I'm okay with it. But early tight end in the second round, it's just a little bit steep for me, knowing that I don't have a wide receiver on my roster yet. So I'll grab Tyreek Hill as my anchor wide out.
For sure. We see Alvin Kamara go off the board. Oh, Priest Hall goes right off the board. But like I said, I'm going to grab one of my heroes here with Amari and Hampton, and we will see what ends up falling here. Dude, I fucking hate this board.
Like I said, dude, you can get creative with this double hero. You could get your double hero in the fifth round. This is a sharp room. We said that. In a sharp room, you can get more creative with when you're getting your double heroes, because the dead zone is no longer off limits if it's a good profile.
Yeah, for sure. I don't feel comfortable with the profiles enough to push one up here. So with that being said, I'll just grab Jalen Hurts first and kind of see what falls back here. Hopefully, Kenneth Walker, a Trevion Henderson, somebody falls like that, because I still believe in those two backs.
Yeah, well, and this is why you draft in our simulator too, is that you're not going to have the absolute goated, nutted players fall to you every single time. And then when you get into your draft and you realize your league mates aren't idiots, that you have like the best team in the world. If you draft against the mock draft simulator on Flock, you're going to get a realistic experience of guys that know how to draft and don't draft stupid players, 15 picks ahead of ADP. And then when it happens in your real draft, you go, okay, well, that's a nice gift that I wasn't expecting to happen.
For sure. Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, Amari Hampton as my first hero, hopefully again, a Walker or Trevion Henderson is able to fall back to me. I just don't value the James Cook, Chuba Hubbard range. Like, I can't personally take them over the quarterback, which is why I went Hurts there.
Yeah. So Worthy and Smitty are my two highest rated wide receivers. Knowing that I have a little bit of a riskier wide receiver one, I don't feel as comfortable taking Worthy as my wide receiver two, because I think he's a little riskier than Smith. So I'll grab Smith first. Maybe I could have pushed it, and actually Worthy fell back to me. So it's totally
there you go.
I'm having a much better draft as far as building up the strategy than Danny is. You're having to get a little creative on the fly.
I didn't think the unction would roll out where everybody – I should know our league mates. They fucking love running backs in this. So maybe I could have changed it. But I personally can't take Derrick Henry over Drake London. If that was an Ash and Genty, I would have taken him. But like I said, I kind of want to give you guys a different look. Because Bush did go with a running back in that first round, I very comfortably could have went with a Devon Achane or Ashton Genty, but like I said, I didn't want to do that for you guys. But I'll grab my second hero here. I'll grab James Conner. RB1 last year, I do feel safe with the projection right now. And on top of that, I do think this Cardinals offense profile is a lot better. Obviously, there is risk, don't get me wrong, older running back, lengthy injury history. But I do think that I'm not just drafting him here solely for touches. I'm actually looking at the goal line equity. I'm looking at the touchdown equity and everything we've heard from Cardinals camp has pointed out that he's going to be their workhorse. So he's one of the biggest risers, I would say, at my running back position here. And I could go with another one here, and I will with Isaiah Pacheco. So even though I waited to grab my second running back, I feel good with this core. I have two wide receivers I build around, and I have Jalen Hurts here. So again, not your traditional double hero. I didn't technically grab my two in the first four rounds, but like we said, because the running back dead zone is so alluring nowadays, I feel comfortable in venturing here. Because Isaiah Pacheco, this exact profile in 2020, probably would have been a top three round pick.
Yeah, no, for sure. I do have a couple wide receivers ranked as my highest rated players, but I did just take Xavier Worthy, and I'm going to grab Patrick Mahomes to stack up with him here, and we'll see what falls back to me at wide receiver. Maybe I can go, I could even grab TJ Hawkinson here if I really wanted to. With a double hero RB start, sometimes you're not afforded the flexibility to grab two wide receiver or two onesie positions in a quarterback and a tight end before like the round eight range is over. I could go with TJ Hawkinson here, but we talked about this guy in yesterday's video, and I'm going to roll with him. Jaden Reed, a guy that I think is the primo guy to have in your flex. Just boom, bust, give me all the big weeks out of Jaden Reed. So I end up grabbing him there. And now I have my wide receivers through the flex. Again, that was the old rule, double hero RB. We wanted wide receivers still through the flex. But I do think the value lined up perfectly for me to still do that.
For sure. Now I'm back on the clock here, and I do think I need a wide receiver that has immediate appeal in my lineup. Again, if we are looking, I am one through the flex at the running back position of Amari Hampton, James Conner, and Isaiah Pacheco. I want a wide receiver here that I can start on day one. And to me, that guy It sounds like he's going to be healthy. He sounds like he's going to be the wide receiver one for a quarterback, I believe, in right away. I will take Stephon Diggs at the late seventh round here. And I was hoping Igbuka would fall back. I'm not going to lie. But I should have counted on the fact that our bot was going to take him.
Well, yeah, this is the hard part about drafting against yourself, essentially, and other people who are ranking players and you know, doing a lot of drafts. But this is why you mock on here.
Amen, brother. Amen. But I am going to be back on the clock here. And let me just take a sort here. I like Matthew Golden a lot. He is my highest rated player. And I will lean Matthew Golden because I do think there should be a tight end that I like falling back to me.
I was actually really, really hoping that Travis Kelce was going to fall to me there because I would have had the worthy Mahomes-Kelce stack and just absolutely hammered that Chiefs offense, which, of course, always would end well. See my Flock League team from last year when I took three Chiefs before the seventh or eighth round was done. And, of course, that did not end well for me. But looking at the board, these guys don't have tight ends yet, and I think Colston Loveland's a major tier break, so I'm going to take Colston Loveland here. Heck. All the reports out of camp are super positive. The guy is absolutely lighting it up right now, so I would feel very, very comfortable getting Colston Loveland at the 8-10 there. And it honestly, knowing that these two rookies, Warren and Loveland, are available in the 8th round, 9th round, and potentially later, if you guys are in home leagues, you might get them later than the 8th, 9th round, but I'm comfortable taking them there. It makes me less inclined to take a Sam Laporta, a TJ Hawkinson, a Travis Kelce,
for sure,
who go a little bit earlier, because I really do think those rookies project just as well. I don't have any other running backs other than my two heroes. Obviously, those guys are going to lock down my RB1 and 2 spot most of the time. So I'm going to grab Brandon Ayuk here as an upside swing. He's on my bench. I don't need him right away. I have four wide receivers I can start over him. And Ayuk, to me, just represents somebody I can kind of just count on once he's back from injury. And maybe he's a guy that fits into my lineup as a consistent flex option once he's back.
For sure. I'm back on the clock here, though. Again, it is a full PPR, so I do have to keep that in mind that a guy like Travis Etienne can give me early touches. But realistically, I feel confident in my early touches at running back. I don't want to just take an early touch running back just to take him. So I am looking at across the board here. My highest rated player is going to be Tucker Kraft. And I can't rule out the FSE bot for taking him. So I'm just going to take him on this turn because there's nobody else that really sticks out.
Yeah, well, and the land bot didn't have a tight end, too, so.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. It's like, I don't know if the land guys have Kraft or Andrews higher, but I do much prefer Kraft, and I know that the FSE bot, based off our rankings, will have Kraft ahead of where the experts rank, so keep that in mind. It's like, you know, if you know your league mate is a Green Bay Packers fan and you love Tucker Kraft, you probably don't want to take Tucker Kraft after the turn with the risk that that guy on the turn can take him. So it kind of mimics on the site here what your league draft or your league format's going to be, because some guys are going to like certain positions, certain players better in certain portions of their draft, which it kind of mimics here. So I'm back, like I said, on the clock. I'm back on the clock. I will go with Zach Charbonnet, because I mentioned I feel good with my early touches at running back, so I take an upside swing here at running back.
Yep, and I'm in the same place because I have not taken a running back since I took my double heroes. I'm executing the old school double hero where you avoid the dead zone, hammer out wide receivers. Again, I didn't intend to do that. I was willing to take a dead zone running back if I had to. I think the closest that came for me was Worthy versus Kenneth Walker. I actually had them ranked pretty closely, but I do end up kind of sticking to the plan here, and I'll grab J.K. Dobbins as my first running back off the bench, a guy that I think could legitimately compete for legitimate starting opportunities right away. And it's making me kind of upset that I did take Patrick Mahomes, knowing that Jordan Love is available at the 11:03 and some of these other quarterbacks are available here. But that's the way that I have things ranked. So, I mean, that's how it was going to go the whole time. I could grab another tight end knowing that Loveland's a rookie, but I actually feel pretty comfortable with him. Maybe in the 14th round or something, I'll grab like an early tight end like Hunter Henry if I absolutely had to start somebody week one who's not a Colston Loveland there. But I'll grab Luther Burden, upside swing at wide receiver. See what happens there. I do need to hammer out some more running backs, but I don't really like the value on the board.
Yeah, I would agree there. I am back on the clock here, and there's a couple of running backs that I do like. I don't mind a guy like Tank Bigsby here. Did Luther Burden go? Oh, you
took him.
I zoned out. Wow. I was completely banking on him falling. My apologies there. I'll go. That's a tough one. This is by the experts. If I sort by my own. We do have Kyle Williams clearly as the best player available, but I think he should be able to pick it back to me. I'll go Isaac Arendi here. Like I said, I feel confident with my early touches. I'm purely banking on upside here. And of course, I knew my own bot would snipe me on Kyle Williams. That That is not fun, but I mean,
this is uniquely a problem to us that our own bots are going to snipe us. Like, nobody's going to have this happen. But, like, I don't know. In your league, you might have people that follow the same content creators that you follow. Maybe you have people that think very similarly about fantasy that you do. Like, I have two or three guys I can name off the top of my head in my league that always take guys that I like because, A, they follow our content.
And they sort by our rankings.
Think very similarly as I do to fantasy and the types of players that they want to take.
Yeah, so I ended up grabbing Rashid Shaheed here. We have seen some positive reports out of camp. I do like the offensive approach now with Kellen Moore coming over. We've kind of seen him being able to lead, you know, solid offenses, whether it's pass happy, run heavy. I do think based on the personnel, it should be a relatively similar structured offense to what we saw last year. But Shaheed, when he was healthy, was legitimately a, you know, top 25 level point per game receiver. So getting him in the 12th round, feel confident in terms of the early targets that I have on this team.
Yeah, for sure. It looks like, have these guys not taken a tight end yet? The Domain bot and the Avery bot. I guess Avery just absolutely can't stand tight ends this year. So this is something that I haven't really touched on too much, but I don't mind taking two tight ends this year. And the reason I don't mind taking two tight ends is because specifically, if you look at my roster, the lowest investment position on my team is tight end. I grab two running backs, my first two picks. I grab four wide receivers with four of the next five picks after that. I grab an elite quarterback in Patrick Mahomes. And then Colston Loveland was my first starter, I would say, that was not drafted very highly. So if tight end is a position that you fade, like I do, I'm okay grabbing two guys. Between Dalton Kincaid and Colston Loveland, I got a lot of upside to get a real different tight end there. You got potentially a top 10 NFL draft pick rookie who could really take a huge step, and a guy who could eventually be a top two target for Josh Allen. So for me, between those two guys, I'll play matchups. I'll figure out who ends up being the positional advantage for me, and I should have a starting tight end. Just like the people that took Hockenson and Laporta, feel pretty good about that. I feel between those two guys, I should have a guy that I feel great about, and I'm going to break Danny's heart here and take Dylan Sampson as an upside swing at running back. And again, if you're drafting on sharp formats and you feel good about the guys that you're getting there, you're going to probably have to take the guys that you want a little earlier than, you know, you doing sleeper mock drafts and getting every sleeper that you like.
Yeah, just like this, I know regardless of who I pass on, the other one's going to get sniped by the FSC bot. So because, you know, there's another running back I decently like here, I'll take the wide receiver. I feel confident in my early targets from, you know, Stephon Diggs or Shaheed if I need. And I got upside with Matthew Golden. I'm going to add another upside piece to that, a guy that probably won't touch my lineup until I know he is going to be a starting player. It's a very easy read. That's Jalen McMillan. I'm just praying that, I know Ray Davis was never going to make it back to me. I don't know why I even thought that was a possibility.
Why didn't you just take him then?
Because I was okay with Tyler Allgeier.
Okay.
That's what I was saying. Like, I thought McMillan was the, after McMillan went, I didn't really like the projections at wide receiver as much as I liked Allgeier to Davis. So that's why I did that in that order. But I ideally would have liked both.
Yep. Yeah, for sure. And I'm going to grab another running back too, because again, I grabbed my first two running backs and my first two picks. One other thing too, especially if you're running a double hero RB, like really traditionally, like I ran it, which is the first two picks you make are running backs, you probably kind of want to assume that those guys are going to be hits for you, even though that might not be the case, and not draft like a bunch of running backs to try and make up for it in case, oh, what if Bijan and Chase Brown don't hit and I have to take a 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th round pick on a running back just in case. It's like, fill out your other positions, just assume you're going to be right on those top guys, and you can backfill with other guys like Dobbins and like Sampson and like what I'm going to do here. One of my favorite late round running back shots is Miles Sanders, and the reason for that is because I think you'll know right away whether or not he's usable. Because in the late rounds, 13th, 14th, 15th round, you don't, like, yes, you can take Tyler Allgeier types like you did, but you're probably forced to hold those guys until Bijan Robinson goes down with an injury. You know what Tyler Allgeier is versus Miles Sanders. You'll probably know right away, is he a major part of this backfield or is he not a major part of this backfield? Because there's better handcuff opportunities out there that you can drop him for on the waiver wire and kind of churn a Miles Sanders type if he doesn't work out.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, if you want to go that direction, again, I felt confident with my early touch workload to the point where I'm fine with the implied play there, because like I expect Hampton, Connor, Pacheco to basically be in my lineup 100% of the time to start the first month of the season.
Yeah, and one thing that we talk about a lot too, given the way that like I structured my bench, because I drafted so many wide receivers, Ayuk and Burden were pure upside swings. I don't need to draft, you know, Marquise Brown or whatever on my team. Like, there's no reason for me to do that. The investment I made in the wide receiver position dictates that I probably should focus on backfilling at running back or backfilling at tight end or backfilling at a position that I didn't make as high of an investment in. So that's kind of bench structuring 101 is that if you draft three straight wide receivers to start your draft, well, you probably should have less overall wide receivers on your roster than somebody who didn't draft their first receiver till round 7.
Yeah, no, for sure.
So let's get into the post-draft. Again, another paid feature of the site. If you guys are site subscribers, you can sort by our specific rankings and see who likes your team the most. My team, I'm assuming I like my team the most because it's my rankings that I drafted off of. I really love how this thing turned out for me. I mean, you had the mental gymnastics a little bit of trying to the double hero RB in a different way, but mine worked out very clean. I love the running back core that I built. I love the wide receiver core I built. Double tight end. I feel like I'm going to get a starter out of those two guys, and Patrick Mahomes is going to lock down my QB spot.
Well, part of it, again, I didn't want to take the running back in the first round because you did. So I ended up going with Nico Collins and Drake London because I can't take Derrick Henry personally over Drake London. But I mean, I really, what it came down to is I should have known that the DFC bot was picking at 12 and I wasn't going to get Devon Achane or Ashton Jeanty falling to me. So that's understanding your league. Again, I wanted to give you guys a different look. Now, unfortunately, taking a wide receiver in the first round really inhibited my ability to fully conduct the strap. But at the same time here, Amarin Hampton, if he was my number two as my hero running back, and I had grabbed a Devon Achane or an Ashton Jeanty at that 203, I'd feel a little bit better in terms of exacting the strategy. But in terms of just actually like creating the team here, yeah, it's almost inversely like a double hero wide receiver in the sense, because Nico Collins, Drake London, I faded the wide receiver position to Stephon Diggs, Matthew Golden, which again, we talked about the research, but the dead zone is actually a lot more fruitful at running back. Like Isaiah Pacheco, James Conner comparatively to, I mean, like, maybe you take like a Jalen Waddle, but like even still, like the pure point equity of Connor and Pacheco versus the wide receivers in this range, you could take most of the wide receivers in this range, two of them, and compare the point total expected between the two running backs and two wide receivers. More often than not, those two running backs will outscore the wide receivers in that range.
Yeah, it's just simply about drafting the best player. And going back to the board, one thing that I do want to hammer home, because I talked about it in the strategy portion, what I said at the beginning of the video was where you took Nico Collins, if you... Yep. Again, you know your league, understand what's going to happen, think that maybe those running backs are going to be off the board by the time you get back.
Yep.
Weigh your like worst case scenario. It's like, okay, worst case scenario, I take Drake London. Maybe you were totally fine with that, but maybe you're like, worst case scenario, my best available running back is Derrick Henry. Maybe I should just take Achane or Jeanty with this pick. And then coming back to me, I'll have my choice of Nico Collins, Brian Thomas Jr., Amon-Ra St. Brown, and those type of guys. So if you guys are looking to run a double hero RB, I would say, if you got a tie break to the running back because you're fearing the worst case scenarios that you're going to get locked out or whatever, that's something that you maybe want to do. Obviously, for the purposes of this video, you weren't going to do that. But if you were doing a real draft, you might have.
Well, that's what I said. Like in a real draft, I would have applied that. I would have taken the running back first because I still like the wide receivers, like you said, falling back. But I didn't want to also take a running back in the first round because we just made a whole point about how you can find your heroes past the first round. So yeah, wanted to give you guys a different look. And I still like how it ended up materializing because I really do like the touch workloads of Connor, Pacheco, goal line equity of those two running backs. And I mean, you guys know my thoughts on Hampton. I think he has legitimate top five upside, which is why I take him in the 310 portion.
Yeah, no, for sure. So appreciate you guys for tuning in. Danny's face is actually covering this, but this was mock draft number 22,831 on the site. So if you guys are looking to do a bunch of mock drafts, because you can actually specifically, if I go to the mock draft tool, you can join a mock draft lobby just like you would on ESPN. I can join the queue and it joins me into a mock draft lobby and I'm drafting with a bunch of other people who are looking to get ready for their fantasy leagues as well. So in addition to drafting against the simulator, like you and I just did, obviously, you can draft against other people too who are drafting for their home leagues, and you can join PPR, non-PPR, half PPR, one quarterback, dynasty, super flex dynasty, whatever you're looking for. And again, that season pass, $35, you get full site access August 1st to January 1st, where you can access our recent posts. You can see the draft guide that we put out, the draft guide that the land guys put out. You can use the prospects tab to do research on the rookies. You can use the My Teams feature to connect to your specific league, see how you stack up. You can, of course, look at our rankings for 2025, rookies, one quarterback, super flex, all that good stuff. You can use the trade calculator, which is customizable to your specific league. So if you're in a two quarterback league, it's going to value quarterbacks appropriately. If you're in a league where you have five flexes or something for whatever reason, it's going to value depth players appropriately. If you're in a start six, 18 league, it's only going to really value hammers appropriately. So if you guys are interested in all that stuff, definitely check it out. That is available via the season pass, the single best tool you can use for your fantasy football leagues this year. And we really do appreciate you guys supporting the channel. But leave a like if you're new around here. Subscribe to the channel also as well. Comment any of your thoughts down below. What do you think of the double hero RB strategy this year? I'm sure everybody loves the double hero RB strategy this year, because like we said at the beginning of the video, it is probably the optimal way to play your fantasy football drafts. And we talked about a lot of strategy portions of this video. So take it into action. Go to Underdog. Use the promo code FSE. Get some practice for your home leagues as well. And you can win up to, you know, $2 million. If you take down Best Ball Mania 6, you can win $2 million playing fantasy football. That is not a drill. And Danny and I are putting all 150 bullets that we can do into Best Ball Mania 6. But if you have a smaller budget, you only put 10 bullets into it, try and win the $2 million that way. Make sure to use the promo code FSE when you sign up over there. Up to $1,000 in bonus cash. Give me pick in your pick 'em lobby. That is our best way, really. Use the mock draft simulator, use Underdog, and you will be overprepared for your home leagues to help beat your league mates. So with that being said, peace out. We'll talk to you soon.